Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. The big news of the day is on the south side, East Carson Street, as Paul, you just reported, the special agent in charge of the FBI here, Christopher Giordano, calling this an act of terror as this white passenger car rammed the gate at their offices there.
It is a smaller car. It's a white Toyota Corolla. And you can see good images of it. It's right up against the fence. And Agent Giordano told the media a short time ago that the person who was behind the wheel threw an American flag over the gate after the collision with the gate. His name, the person they're looking for here, is Donald Henson. He's from Penn Hills. He left the area on foot. They think that he doesn't have a weapon, but they also say he's believed to have a history of mental health issues, and they're looking for him at this hour.
And they said something was written on the windshield?
One of the side windows. A message of some kind, but what it is, I'm not aware.
Okay. Well, bottom line is nobody was injured, but they are looking for Donald Henson.
And this is not the first time something like this has happened at the FBI field office here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's right. In that incident, I don't think anyone was hurt either.
But again, I'm glad they've got a sturdy gate.
Yeah, I mean, it is national news when an FBI building is rammed at the gate. But again, nobody injured, so we'll keep you posted. The big international news is President Trump and the First Lady. A second state visit to England. I guess that's unprecedented. You wouldn't think that over the years.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what they said. And with the details, CBS's Tina Krause is there.
At a time of global uncertainty, the UK is pulling out all the stops to bolster ties and stay in President Trump's favor. The president has made it no secret that he loves the royals, and for the next 2 days, he'll be getting the royal treatment.
Soon, President Trump and the First Lady will receive a royal welcome to Windsor Castle for a historic second state visit to the United Kingdom. They'll be greeted by King Charles and Queen Camilla, along with William and Kate, the Prince and Princess of Wales.
My relationship is very good with the UK, and Charles, as you know, who's now king, is my friend.
President Trump's first state visit was back in 2019 with Queen Elizabeth II at Buckingham Palace. But with the London landmark under renovation, the spotlight shifts to Windsor with some notable changes.
There's no public access to the president and the facility really at any point during this whole state visit. But at the same time, it's the full bells and whistles. The royal family, no pun intended, is the biggest trump card this government can play.
UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer extended the King's invitation to President Trump back in February. The leaders will sit down tomorrow for high-level talks, with trade topping the agenda.
The U.S. remains the UK's largest trading partner. Earlier this year, the two countries signed a framework to reduce tariffs on some products, though the UK is hoping for a deal to lower levies on steel and aluminum.
They'd like to see if they could get a little bit better deal, so we'll talk to them.
Overnight, protesters cast a shadow over the royal reception, projecting images of Mr. Trump and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein onto Windsor Castle. It comes just days after Starmer ousted the UK's U.S. ambassador over his ties to Epstein.
This state visit will be jam-packed with a gun salute, the traditional military inspection, and a carriage procession for the president and first lady. And it is windy out here. That's what you're hearing. So hopefully the weather will be a little bit better for them in Windsor. But tonight, a lavish royal banquet is filled with a flavor of British and American cuisines.
Yes, what would be Alison Krauss, by the way, or not Alison Krauss, Alison Tina Krauss, Krauss
With
CBS in London, what would be English fare for such an event like this? Aaron?
Well, I've been watching recently a lot of videos about food from different parts
of
Europe.
Foodie in a way.
Yeah, I guess so. And so at an event like that, I would imagine that it was, pretty high-end stuff.
Bangers and beans.
No, it wouldn't be traditional anything like that. It wouldn't be toad in the hole or squeak and bevel and squeak.
Or spotted
dick. Yes. But Yorkshire pudding, nothing like that. I would imagine the menu is probably, right up there with what they would serve at the White House. Let's put it that way.
I don't know.
Pretty nice.
Do you know what English fare is?
I mean, I was trying to think of my own duo in here while you guys were. I'm in here thinking of all Southern foods, like shrimp and grits. No.
I don't believe you'll be seeing that at the palace.
No, actually, I could see that being served at the White House in a gourmet kind of style. That would make sense. Something Creole, right?
Yeah, right.
Or Cajun. But in Great Britain, I'm sure I don't think it's the well-worn out things like beef Wellington.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
You're not saying that right.
Beef Wellington.
That's it. There you go. you got it. Or fish and chips.
Yes. That's something maybe in a gourmet style.
I learned something new about fish and chips in England the other day. The places that sell it are called chippies. And they're like our delis here in the United States, kind of dwindling in number. The same thing's going on with fish and chips in the UK.
Meanwhile, we love Ray it. Clark.
That would be great. We haven't talked to him in forever.
We'll snag him tomorrow. He's a
Ray Clark,
former BBC newsman, actually, and a radio host who's in England.
He's a kick in the pants, Aaron. He's terrific.
Does he have an accent?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Of course.
Everything the man says sounds really important.
Poetic.
He could say, "My toilet is jammed," and you'd be "Wow, that's really impressive."
Love that.
Hey, coming up, I want to share from Robert Redford's passing what his co-stars have been saying about
this is going to be good.
Yeah, it's really well done. So we'll do that here in just a minute. We'll listen for the Drive at 5 top stories of the day. Driving the news every weekday afternoon, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Well, yesterday during the morning show, we found out that actor Robert Redford passed at the age of 89. And once you hear of his filmography, over 80 films, you get to know the real impact of him as an actor and philanthropist. From CBS, Michael George.
He was Hollywood's golden boy, who starred alongside some of the greatest leading ladies. And today, they're paying tribute. Barbara Streisand, his co-star in The Way We Were, called him one of a kind. Meryl Streep, Redford's Out of Africa co-star, wrote, "One of the lions has passed." Jane Fonda, who starred with Redford in Barefoot in the Park, said she can't stop crying. And in Park City, Utah, the marquee of the Egyptian Theater was changed to "Applause for Bob Redford." Thank you, Sundance Kid. Sunday morning's Lee Cowan has more about the one-time heartthrob turned Oscar-winning movie maker and environmentalist.
You don't like talking about your end? I mean, who does? You know, I can't do this forever. I've been doing it since I was 21. As you move into your 80s, you say, hey, that's enough. That's enough.
He was truly a natural. Robert Redford shattered all kinds of norms of what being a movie star really meant.
Would you make a jump like that and you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Over his career, he had more than 80 films to his credit.
When are you leaving?
Tomorrow.
Many playing the golden-haired romantic lead.
Katie, you expect so much.
Oh, but look what I've got.
His films had both humor...
Are you serious?
...and heft.
This is some stuff in the Eisenhower campaign 1952 that Hunt was connected with.
He took risks many actors wouldn't. His directorial debut was Ordinary People, a film studios thought was too dark, and his choice for the lead, Mary Tyler Moore, too light. It won Redford an Oscar.
From the time I was just a little kid, I was always wanting to go away from the rules. I didn't want to break any. I just didn't want to be held by them.
I don't even know you.
You know me. I'm just like you.
He was of Hollywood, born in Santa Monica, California, but never really enamored by it. Redford fled to the mountains of Utah instead, where he championed all kinds of environmental causes. It was up here, too, where he launched his Sundance Institute and the Sundance Film Festival, focused on those who had something to say but were rarely heard.
Whenever there's an attempt to snuff politically, to use politics to snuff a point of view, then we try as best we can to come behind it and push that back out in the marketplace and encourage the work to be seen.
Robert Redford died at Sundance, surrounded by those who loved him and the mountains he loved so much.
You know, that obituary, which Lee Cowan did a great job on, makes me want to go back and watch some of those movies. Out of Africa.
Absolutely.
It was an epic film.
You could spend an entire weekend, maybe two weekends, watching all those great movies that you enjoyed over the years.
Aaron, you're going to have to write a couple of these down for your... We have a long growing list for you over time.
Well, actors like him remind me that now, modern day, being a movie star and an actor are very different. You know, I think in his time, there were A-list movie stars.
And he was one of them.
You know, yes. What I'm reminded of here, and I'm not trying to compare them when I say this, but... Well, I'm reminded of right now when
Tom
he
Hanks.
Died.
No,
when he died would be Henry Fonda. Same kind of reaction.
No. That's been a while.
Yeah, worldwide acclaim. Mm-hmm. Celebrated actor.
All right. What else is going on? Let's see. Paul has discovered a list since the president and first lady are banqueting at the Royal Castle.
I found out about this. You're going to blow your mind
Buckingham
when you guys hear
Palace.
This.
All right. Here's the list of
they're having
English
this banquet.
I can't wait.
It's kind of one of these things where you go around to 19 different stations set up around the room serving the food and drink. The menu is French. Each of these food stations is managed by a page, a footman, an underbutler, and a wine butler.
Of course.
Each station.
There's steamed filet of halibut, watercress mousse, asparagus spears... a saddle of new season Windsor lamb with fragrant herb stuffing, spring vegetables, and port sauce, and for dessert, strawberry sable with tangy lemon, some kind of cream.
Strawberry.
And an assortment of fresh fruit before coffee and pettifors. Wow.
Whoa. So elegant. Elegantly put.
Well, wait a minute. They have to go to food stations?
Yeah, apparently it's kind of wandering around from one station to the next. Then you go to the table and chow down and go back. I wonder if it's polite to go up for more.
Like that, or do you like being served?
I prefer being served.
Yes, I like to just sit there and kind
right.
of grace.
Right, having to get back up is kind of...
Sit there and droll. So the president, yes. First lady having...
My favorite part, the saddle of new season Windsor lamb with fragrant herb stuffing.
I should bring out my whip sounds. All right, there's your fare for the president, first lady, and the king and queen. Continue to keep you posted on the FBI building on East Carson Street in the south side where the gate was rammed, as you heard in our newscast, with Paul Rasmussen, FBI Special Agent in Charge Christopher Giordano, calling it an act of terror, and they are looking for Donald Henson of Penn Hills. And nobody injured, but they were concerned and checking the vehicle for potential explosives. So we'll keep you posted on that story. A lot going on, and from KDK-TV, we welcome Barry Pintar. Barry, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you.
Yeah, I saw a report you did last night about there's the need for a vote for this stamp for Fred Rogers.
Yeah, so believe it or not, this year in 2025, the United States Post Office turns 250 years old. Isn't that insane? 250 years old. So what they're doing is having this contest. They have resurrected the potential of 25 former forever stamps, where people could go online and vote. They have till September 30th. And the winning stamp that is voted back in will go back into circulation next year. So, you know, forever stamps are those ones that you buy that you can use forever, even if the postage goes up. And a lot of people think they're just the plain flag ones, but they got everything from Bugs Bunny to the Evil Queen from Disney, 25 different ones. But one of them, yes, is Mr. Rogers, and of course, Pittsburghers are saying, it's got to be Mr. Rogers, and you could place your vote as often as you want.
Yeah, but you pointed out also stiff competition.
There is stiff competition. As a matter of fact, I'll run through some of them for you, because we're talking about forever stamps for from a long time. The classic flag one is there, but just to stick some out, Bugs Bunny, I mentioned the Evil Queen, Star Trek, Charlie Brown, Star Wars, the Cars movie show, Batman, Continental Railroad, so they're going way back. There's a picture of a football, a happy birthday stamp, an eclipse stamp, Wonder Woman, Peter Pan, DC Comics, George Washington, Snoopy, and amidst all that, which just really says, when you think about it, of the impact this man has had just on the world, that along with all of those iconic figures and brands and events, including George Washington, Mr. Rogers is in there. So he's, if you haven't seen it, it's a picture, if you don't remember, it's from 2018. He's holding the king puppet in his hand, and it's a picture of him. And one of the 25 that could be folks can vote to bring back in. And they're going to announce it, by the way, next year at the World Expo in Boston. So, but you only have until September 30th to vote.
All right. So vote. And do you just go to the Postal Service website again, right?
You could, or just go to stampsforever.com, and all the links will be there. You can go to our website. If you forget, we have a link there as well. And yeah, let's bring back Mr. Rogers as the ultimate icon of the last 250 years. Pretty incredible.
Barry, thank you. What are you working on today?
Because I'm a General Assignment News reporter, I will tell you when they come out of the news meeting and say, Barry, this is your story today.
All right.
You know what's interesting? Just very quickly, you've done this. I get that question almost daily from people I'm passing on the streets. And the reality is, you know, you just talked about the car ramming into the building. We don't know until we go in, because we do news. So at the last moment, this is your story. You'll be on the air at 4. Welcome to my life. That's what we do.
No, I certainly get it. Appreciate it. As always, thank you.
My pleasure. Have a great Wednesday.
All right. Barry Pintar from KDK-TV. The vote is yours. Aaron, you're going to hear a lot about 250. It's going to be the magic number. It started for me this June with the United States Army's 250th. You've got the Navy 250 next month. You've got the Marine Corps 250 November 10th from Tun Tavern, Philadelphia. And then, of course, the country celebrating the 250th next year. Can you imagine? Independence Day should be extra ramped up and special.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure it's going to be very, very large. And it's interesting because for me, at least, sometimes when I hear numbers out loud, the biggest numbers sound small and the smallest numbers sound big sometimes. So hearing 250th, I'm thinking, wow, but also, is that it? You know, like, I'm like, wow, is that how long, you know, we're going to celebrate as a country? But again, that's a long time.
It's going to be, yeah, a year-long celebration. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, the next huge celebration here is going to be the draft, right? They had this consortium of all the stakeholders they could possibly get together to talk about what we're doing for the draft as a city, as a region. And I have a couple of people that were at that conversation saying, you know, we have a lot of challenges yet. And they got to hurry because we got to get this done. You know?
Can you imagine being in that room? It's like celebratory, but also,
yeah,
it's also everyone's like,
for some people, high anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the airport is supposed to open next month.
Mm-hmm.
The Pittsburgh International Airport, this $7 billion project. We're going to talk to the CEO, who was Pittsburgher of the Year, named by Pittsburgh Magazine.
Are you going to say it or you're going to hold off?
You want to share it? Go ahead.
Christina Kasotis.
Yeah, she is going to join us to talk about. They had a get together last night too, right?
Right.
So a lot going on in Rich Fitzgerald.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Wednesday weekly guest in the 7 o'clock hour is actually in Washington, and he will join us to tell you why he's there on the region's behalf.
He's accused of ramming a car into the gates of the FBI field office on East Carson early this morning.
We consider this an act of terror.
Authorities are looking now for Donald Henson, who they say ran from the scene.
He's from Penn Hills and apparently has had some issues in the past. Mental health questions.
Yeah, they believe he has a mental health history, but they don't believe, Larry, he's armed, and they're looking for him at this hour. In Utah.
Just for the court's information, we did file just recently, within the last few minutes, a notice of intent to seek the death penalty.
Yeah, County Attorney Jeff Gray talking about Tyler Robinson at his first court appearance on charges in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, and the details of his exchange with his roommate, part of what they read through, so that they could support the charges that they have.
And I don't know if you've seen that in detail or not, Larry, but anyone who has would walk away with no doubt that he was the guy who pulled the trigger. Mike Tomlin asked at his weekly media session yesterday if Caleb Johnson would be returning kickoffs for the Steelers.
Probably not in the short term. I'm certainly going to give him an opportunity to work his way back.
Caleb, the rookie, made a miscue on a kickoff that basically cost them the game.
It's a 14-point swing between the interception and the end zone and that tip ball out of, Calvin Austin's hands.
Steelers were very much in it into the third quarter.
And then you had the miscue on the kickoff, and you're down by 14 there, right?
Yeah, so he's going to get a chance, apparently, to think about it when the Steelers go to New England this Sunday.
What I really liked, though, as I was listening to this news conference yesterday, was what Mr. Tomlin had to say about Caleb after that.
Yeah.
He talked about, he praised him, he encouraged him. You know, he said he can work his way back into that role. If I were a player, that's what I would want to hear.
So
failure's not final.
It's New England this Sunday, then the following Sunday in Dublin, Ireland, as the designated home team against the Minnesota Vikings.
Are you prepared for this yet?
There are parts that I have no idea what to expect, going there. But yeah, I mean, excited. A week from today, going to do the morning show here and then head to Dublin.
Wow.
And I'll be checking in. The game plan is to do the morning show Friday, which will be a midday show, basically.
From across the pond.
Yeah, we're going to do it and pack it with the fun and punch of all the Steelers fans that'll be gathered there. I have a feeling we're going to take over the town in a good way.
Well, I think that's a great idea.
Yes. So we'll be excited to bring you that, and we'll have more details, but looking forward to it. Good morning. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard, and every Wednesday we are joined by our special guest, Rich Fitzgerald, who's the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, normally in studio here, but today in our nation's capital. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, from our beautiful nation's capital. And, hearing Ellen talk about the traffic, maybe we should appreciate that our traffic isn't so bad, having been on the D.C. Beltway yesterday. So, a little bit different down here. But yes, we're at the Allegheny Conference as their annual trip, in which they bring a whole lot of business leaders, university leaders, et cetera, and the county commissioners and county executive also part of that trip, visiting our delegation, bringing our needs of Western Pennsylvania to D.C. so we can get our fair share of things.
Yeah, I think this is one of the things that you do collectively that has a direct impact on the region. So explain for us, if you don't mind, who you visited and what you're going to do and how you hope it will help.
Well, we'll be visiting our congressional delegation, the congressional people. Today we have a meeting in a little bit with Senator McCormick in his office. And again, talking about, building on the momentum that we've seen with some of the data center operation that we've seen already, but can continue to have more of it in this region. We saw it last week at the AI symposium, the thing Senator McCormick had a while back with CMU. And how are we going to capitalize on making sure that we can get the most out of the data center operation? That's just one aspect. There's a lot of needs with infrastructure, with transportation. We see it with the transit issue that PRT is dealing with. We have housing issues, a shortage of housing, not just in the city of Pittsburgh and Allegheny County, but throughout the region. Fayette County has a severe shortage of housing that needs to be done, Greene County. So there's a lot of those needs that we have those discussions with our federal officials. So we have about 15 county commissioners, including County Executive Inamorata being with us, led by our chairman, Mr. Fabian, Pat Fabian. And then we're going to hear from Matt Smith in a few minutes. Matt, from the Chief Growth Officer for the Allegheny Conference, organizing and his team organizing a lot of these meetings. Again, how can we maximize for Western Pennsylvania what our friends in Washington, D.C. can do for us?
And also, we're going to talk about, I know we're going to hopefully have this airport open next month. I know we're going to talk to Pittsburgher of the Year in our next hour, Rich.
We're getting there, and some of the airport folks are here as well. Vince Gaskev and his team, government relations, Again, the aspect of, you know, working with, meeting with Congressman DeLuzio, for example, who represents the airport and has been very, very helpful in this process, and his past predecessor, Connor Lamb, and Congressman Doyle, who've been part of this. Congressman Doyle was also here, you know, in his role with K&L Gates. So there's a lot of partnerships that happen, and you're right. The airport is one of the most exciting things, certainly that I worked on in my tenure, and that's ready to come to fruition in the coming months.
That said, before we get to the details of that with some special guests coming up, what's going on in the city, you may have heard the Emmy Award-winning drama, The Pitt, and Noah Wiley and some of the actors in town, they're going to do some more shooting here around the Allegheny General Hospital area. So have you ever watched any of the episodes of The Pitt?
I have, and I've seen Noah Wiley and you know, hearing that story of the Pittsburgh connection, and it's amazing how many people always have a Pittsburgh connection for their parents, grandparents, et cetera. And the fact that he mentioned the healthcare workers, and, you know, we are obviously so proud of our eds and meds in this city, UPMC, AHN, having, you know, just great, and University of Pittsburgh Medical School, some great research institutions, and kind of honoring the people that do it day after day after day, the nurses, the technicians, the doctors who take care of all of us. And again, I was glad to see Noah Wiley and the Pitt, PITT, getting the recognition we like to see.
It streams on HBO Max. The new season will come out in January, and they'll shoot here. It's focused on Pittsburgh, but all the work of the details are not, they couldn't disrupt a hospital, obviously, especially an emergency department to do that. But it is all Pittsburgh. And Noah Wiley said he went in to tell the doctors something.
They're going to apologize for anything that we need to apologize for and thank them for everything that we should thank them for.
Apologizing in case they didn't do anything that wasn't actually real protocol. It's kind of funny.
Well, a certain thing Noah Wiley, I remember him from, was a movie about 30 years ago called A Few Good Men. And I think the person I'm talking to right now is got his acting start also doing appearing in A Few Good Men. So Larry Richard has a connection to Noah Wiley. There's always those connections that continue to happen.
Oh, Rich, I said, you're a half person from everybody in this town. You know that's true. Yeah, I was Rocky Blyer, and I shared the role as the judge in the stage performance at the Pittsburgh Public Theater of A Few Good Men. And Noah Wiley's mom was born at Shadyside Hospital. His dad went to CMU, and they met here, his parents. And Noah said he wanted to go to a Pirates game. He did last night, and also was excited to go to the Warhol Museum. So a lot of connections.
A lot of connections, as we always say. Things always seem to happen. Go back to Pittsburgh. A relative, a grandparent, worked in the steel mill, went to Pitt or CMU, absolutely.
All right, coming up, we will check in with Matt Smith from the Allegheny Conference with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, which includes 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh. He and representatives in Washington this morning, Rich, and you have a special guest with you.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, Larry, this is something that the Allegheny Conference has done for years. And it's a two-day kind of a whirlwind, a bunch of meetings and gettings together and asks and those type of things for our congressional delegation and Senate delegation. And with us now is Matt Smith, the Chief Growth Officer of the Allegheny Conference. And Matt and his team have organized this and you know, having, again, elected officials like the county commissioners and business leaders, university leaders from the financial sector, the healthcare sector, robotics, life sciences, AI, all those things going on. So Matt Smith joins us. And Matt, welcome. And again, thank you for putting all this together and getting us in front of our friends in Washington, D.C.
No, thanks so much, Rich and Larry. It's great to be with you. And as you said, Rich, you know, this is really about bringing the region, bringing the whole of southwestern Pennsylvania down to visit and talk to our federal policymakers, both policymakers inside the administration from the Department of Energy, Department of Commerce, Department of Defense, as well as our key congressional allies, Senator McCormick, Senator Fetterman, and our members of the House of Representatives. And it really is about speaking as one region with one voice. And we believe that when we go to Washington with, you know, the over 100 people that are down here with us, you know, we're really able to communicate a very powerful message about the opportunities in southwestern Pennsylvania and the role that federal policy and investment plays in catalyzing those opportunities.
Yeah, and as we kicked it off yesterday, you had, you know, County Executive Emerata kind of kicked it off. You had everything from her and the needs of Allegheny County and the, you know, the Fayette County, Greene County, Armstrong County, et cetera. There was a lot of commonalities about training our young people for the future industries like AI and robotics and things that are going on, infrastructure needs that are throughout our region. So there was a lot of commonality, but really people working together across party lines, across, you know, business and labor and universities, et cetera. It really is a coming together for a common goal for what we want to see, making Allegheny County, making southwestern Pennsylvania better.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I was struck yesterday, and as you said, Rich, we had, you know, with your leadership from SPC, we had, you know, the commissioners from southwestern Pennsylvania, the county executive, talking directly to congressional staff, to our other stakeholders in attendance. And as you said, I was really struck by the common themes that came up, the importance of infrastructure and site development and an investment that surrounds sites and infrastructure, the importance of workforce development. And then I was really also struck by, you know, the key sectors that we all talk about. But in this case, it was the commissioners and the county executive talking about their county opportunities in areas like AI and energy, defense robotics, manufacturing, health and life sciences. And the opportunities are there for us, I think, particularly over the next couple of years. When you look back, you know, over the last 6 months, a lot of great things have happened. The U.S. Steel Nippon investment, the Senator McCormick's Energy and Innovation Summit, the AI Horizons event last week. What we're trying to do down here is bring all of those events, you know, to the D.C. policymakers, tie a common thread through all those events, and really, as I said earlier, catalyze the opportunities that have in part been created by all the great activity that those events allow for the region.
Yeah, I'm just curious, you guys, you said, Matt, about 100 people representing the region are there?
Yeah, across. I mean, we have different events. Some, you know, are upwards. I think yesterday's event was 75, 80. Today's events will be over 100. And it, you know, it's a really great cross section of the entire region. Republicans, Democrats, you know, business leaders from various sectors, from manufacturing to energy, to AI, to life sciences. And it's all about, you know, that collective group communicating with a very coherent voice, you know, again, the opportunities for the region, but what the role of federal policy is in across many different areas, permitting reform, federal investment, grants from DOE, loans from the Department of Energy, you know, the role of those federal decisions in unlocking all of the opportunity. And that's what that, you know, very, very large group of stakeholders is down here to communicate.
And the one thing, Larry, I think what Pittsburgh has right now is when I say Pittsburgh, obviously talking about the whole region, a great story to tell. So you have those 100 people and the 15 county commissioners, all 10 counties are represented here, telling their story about the opportunities that we have and, you know, the resources like energy, water, the workforce development, the trained workforce that can build these things, the AI coming out of CMU, et cetera, all these great things. We're down here making our pitch about what opportunities are for the country if Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh region are helped out.
I'm just curious, gentlemen, what's the most important thing you'd like to accomplish for our region in your visit?
Yeah, I think
Matt,
number
I'll
one,
let you,
Larry.
You take that one.
Yeah, I think number one, as Rich said, just communicating the opportunity that exists in southwestern Pennsylvania if we act with a sense of urgency at the federal level on policy and investment. So I think overall, that's a really important message that I hope federal policymakers take away. And then if I had one specific policy that we think is really, really important here over the next 6 to 9 months, it's federal permitting reform. We hear that from every type of project that we work with, that we're trying to bring in the region. All of these companies want to move fast. They want to move quickly through the permitting process, and it shouldn't take longer to permit a project than it does to build a project. And that's our message on that particular issue. We think permitting reform at the federal level is really, really critical.
Well, gentlemen, good luck. And Matt, appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
Matt, thanks, we'll so see much, you in a little buddy. Bit thanks, over at Senator McCormick's office. All right. Thanks.
All right. We'll continue with Rich Fitzgerald on the Big K Morning Show. On the Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, part of a delegation to try to help bring resources to our region. And another special guest, Rich.
Yes, we have the person who led us down here from the SPC, the chairman of the SPC, is County Commissioner Pat Fabian from Armstrong County. And as we kicked off yesterday's event, you know, starting with the county executive Inamorata, and then Chairman Fabian, the two of them kind of led the charge, so to speak, in talking about what we need here in southwestern Pennsylvania. So, Chairman Fabian, welcome. Glad to have you on and talk a little bit about what this has meant to our region and to the members that you're chairman of.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Rich, from Washington. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
We're hanging in there. Yes.
No, we had a great day yesterday. We had the 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh down here in Washington, D.C. Our region has a great opportunity before us, and I couldn't be proud to lead a delegation coming down here yesterday. We heard a lot of good things happening in the Southwest region yesterday, but we also have a lot of challenges as well. And we wanted to make sure we got that before our legislative leaders that represent, the Southwestern corner and bring some funding back to help us, fill those bold aspirations we have.
And a lot of those conversations and asks, if you will, in selling the region is in coordination with some of the businesses and the business opportunities that exist, not just in Armstrong and in Pittsburgh and Allegheny and Green. And those conversations around healthcare, around energy, around robotics, around technology, workforce development, all those challenges come together. So this really is a good meeting of the minds of showing collaboration and how that works. And again, Pat, you had, I think, if I read, like 15 county commissioners who were here. Every county was represented, some with one, some with two, and some with all three county commissioners that showed up.
No, I think that's what's so special about our region, Rich, is there's some bold aspirations with all the counties. Everybody's working hard, but, we all show up. We're all team players. County to county, and we always say one region, one voice. If one county is doing better, whether it's Beaver or Green, it benefits everybody in the Southwest region, and ultimately benefits the Commonwealth.
I'm curious, Commissioner, what is your single biggest want from this gathering? What do you hope that our elected officials in Washington take away from your visit?
Well, I mean, personally, I represent Armstrong County, but, with SBC, I represent the region. And I spoke on the, when I was talking about Armstrong County yesterday, we're a river town community. We were built on the river, and we have a lot of property. When you talk about the PPGs, the Alger, the Allegheny Ludlums, brownfields, and it's very expensive to clean up these sites. These properties were home to 15,000 jobs at one time, and they're not there anymore. And we can't put it on the backs of taxpayers. We got to grow our way out of this, and to fill these properties up or to environmentally. And to make them marketable, it's very expensive, and that's what I talked about. It's getting expensive to live in rural Pennsylvania, and I just wanted to get that message across yesterday. And when dollars come back to PA, We want to clean up these sites and make them opportunistic for, you know, companies that were there before.
Well, appreciate
that. We're looking to another good day. I'm sorry, Larry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, appreciate the update. Yeah, this is an all-out opportunity for the region, for you and a number of other represented officials who are trying to bring back some goods for us. So thank you, Chair.
And we'll see you in a little bit when we go to Senator McCormick's and all the other meetings up on the Hill today.
Yeah, we have a busy day today and looking forward to getting with my co-commissioners from across the region and having some good dialogue with our federal partners.
All right, thanks again, Commissioner Pat Fabian from Armstrong County, representing the commissioners and the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, with Rich Fitzgerald there as well. And we'll be right back. Guests, Rich, today, right?
We do. And one of our next guests, you know, we talk a lot about the energy industry, and we talk a lot about, you know, the ability for data centers. And the next guest is Brett Brobstein from CNX. And what CNX is, we probably all know, many should know, has really been instrumental, and I'll call it saving Pittsburgh International Airport going back 15 years when we got that lease with them and the revenues that the royalties have been able to provide for that airport has, you know, brought us Christina Kasotis and, you know, the new terminal and all the flights, et cetera, et cetera. And I wanted, and Brett is here with us in Washington talking to D.C. because there's some issues with respect of legislation that could benefit the airport and benefit CNX and benefit our region in a way in which we could use that gas and turn that into jet fuel, which would also be an economic driver. Brett, welcome. I'm glad you're here in D.C., but tell us a little bit about the opportunities that natural gas could bring for the region of southwestern Pennsylvania.
Hi, Rich, and thanks for having me on. You know, a lot of people don't realize that we actually operate Marcellus wells under the tarmac at the Pittsburgh Airport in a way that doesn't affect any of the operations for the airport or any of the travelers. And we expect over, you know, 20 years to pay the airport around $200 million in royalties. And that certainly should help to fund the renovations and the new terminal. As we look to the next stage for the future of fuels, we see a tremendous opportunity in turning that energy into potentially jet fuel and also using other resources from the region in a way that we can reduce pollution and actually turn what is today a wasted resource into fuel. You know, a lot of people don't realize that in our region in particular, there are, you know, in the U.S., there are over 30,000 abandoned mines and over 500 active mines. Coal mining has been an economic boon for the region. And what we're doing is we're going to go in and take waste gas, which is necessarily liberated from those mines for safety purposes, which is traditionally pollution, and we're going to turn that into products that are useful, potentially turning it into jet fuel or even powering data centers in the region.
So it actually is a win-win, and we have obviously economic opportunity, but also helping to clean up the environment by taking methane out of the atmosphere.
That's exactly right. And methane is a very potent greenhouse gas. And just one operation that we've got in Virginia, for example, we're capturing the carbon dioxide equivalent in a given year of a new forest the size of the state of Massachusetts. But we want to do more, and we see a tremendous opportunity to do that in southwestern Pennsylvania. If you look at the United States as a whole, this opportunity has a really tremendous size. It's as if you were to plant a brand new forest the size of the state of Montana. That's how much carbon dioxide equivalent we can capture from what's currently venting the atmosphere and then turn it into a useful product. That then is a tremendous economic opportunity. It's jobs for these legacy coal communities that have been left behind. And it really fits perfectly with our vision of Appalachia First, which is build it here, use it here. we can take what is today pollution, remediate it, turn it into a circular economy solution. And this all bolsters onto potential labor partnerships that we have and delivering family sustaining wages for the region.
Brent, we appreciate your time with CNX, and obviously energy plays maybe overall the biggest factor in all of this. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brett.
And Rich, we're going to let you go get to your business there. Appreciate you doing this with us from Washington, D.C., and we'll see you in town next week, right?
We're looking next week and then off to Ireland after that. So a lot going on in this region, a lot of opportunities we want to take advantage of.
Yeah, we'll have plenty to talk about. All right, safe travels home. Good luck today.
Thanks, Larry. Take care.
Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Good morning. 10 straight days without rain. It's coming eventually. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and we are joined by Lindsey Powell, who is a state representative representing District 21. Representative Powell, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. CMU grad. I see that. Wheaton College. Quite a resume. Yeah. It's impressive.
I'm very grateful.
Originally, we wanted to touch on an effort that you've led about getting seatbelts on school buses after we've seen a series of accidents, obviously most recent with that junior football team from Aliquippa. And I'm just curious where that stands. It seems to so many so obvious that we should have seatbelts on school buses.
Absolutely. You would think that in a school bus where you have multiple young people and children, as you can probably remember being a child, it's also very chaotic. And the way that we would buckle our seatbelts for our kids in our individual vehicles, you would think that it would be a no-brainer to do it in school buses. And so still working to support and push forward legislation that ensures that young people are safe on their school buses and are seat-belted up safely so they can get to their schools and their final destinations safely as well.
Representative Powell, what are the hurdles to doing this? I understand it's one thing to require them in new buses, but retrofitting seems to be at least one of the problems.
Absolutely. I think it speaks to a larger issue that we're having with school transportation. You know, anyone who has a school-age child knows that getting that child to school, if they're able to take the school bus, can be really difficult. We have a driver shortage. And as a piece of this puzzle, a lot of our vehicles are incredibly old. And so it takes a lot of money to retrofit them. But any parent would say there's not a price that you could put on a child's safety. And that's a little bit of the hurdle that we're fighting is making sure that there is available funds and the capacity to retrofit some of these older school buses so that, again, our youngest Pittsburghers, our youngest Pennsylvanians can get to school safely.
We're with Representative Lindsey Powell. That said, we also understand you wanted to weigh in on the tiny houses. We talked to State Senator Wayne Fontana yesterday about the caucus they had about affordable housing. And one of the questions I had was, what about tiny houses? And the city is actually seriously looking. In fact, they've green-lighted an opportunity to go ahead. So where do you weigh in?
Absolutely. Housing and accessible and attainable housing is one of, I think, the biggest crises that we're facing in Pittsburgh. Tiny homes provide an option for us to create more housing faster. Tiny homes, just as a kind of general definition, are much smaller than your traditional home. We're talking maybe 600 feet, but they can be made off-site efficiently, quickly. And because they're much smaller, your mortgage, your utility bills can also be much more manageable. As you said, the city of Pittsburgh has been considering a package of legislation that puts forward solutions to this looming housing crisis, including tiny homes that aren't just, you know, transitional for folks experiencing homelessness, but think about, the senior that wants to downsize, that, you know, might not be able to safely live in their three-story home, but to look for a nice, flat one-bedroom home that they can still make cozy, still afford the bills, and still provide opportunities to live and thrive in our communities.
Lindsay, does the state see any role in this in helping cities like Pittsburgh proliferate these small homes?
Absolutely. So at the state level, tiny homes are permissible by a building code, but we do lean on municipalities and counties to really make their own rules and regulations that make sense for what they're seeing in their own backyard. Counties like Lancaster have done a really great job of specifically allowing tiny homes, again, those 600 to 800 square foot homes in their municipalities. And I believe that Allegheny County has the opportunity to do the same.
Well, what's the next step? What do you see this actually happening?
I do. I've worked really closely with colleagues at the state level in building the first of its kind, the Housing Caucus, which is a bipartisan effort of legislators that are interested in working together to put forward implementable, impactful solutions around housing that make sense for Pittsburgh, for Philadelphia, for Lancaster, for Schuylkill, and so many other counties in between. And these types of legislative pushes that are common sense that allow municipalities and counties to have more flexibility to tackle their housing crisis are the types of solutions that we are looking to champion.
What's the word on the budget these days? What are you hearing at your end of the pipeline in Harrisburg, Lindsay?
Well, I tell our constituents I have a go bag by my door, that I am ready to fly on the turnpike back to Harrisburg to get this budget done. Pennsylvanians deserve it. I am hopeful that some of the conversations we've had about transit, flexing some capital dollars outside of the budget to fund both Pittsburgh Regional Transit and SEPTA will allow for more room for negotiations for the rest of our budget. So I am hopeful and I stand at the ready to make sure that we have a balanced budget that honors what Pennsylvanians want to see and what they deserve.
Lindsay Powell, State Representative, appreciate your time this morning, and hopefully your wishes will come true for a budget soon. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
You got it. On the Big K Morning Show newsroom.
I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's
good morning.
Trending tea?
Have you ever stayed in an Airbnb?
I have never. I'm little dubious about it.
Why?
I don't know. I just find it strange to go into somebody else's house and stay over. I know there are many different places, and some of them, the people are still there. You're like renting a room.
What?
I'm out.
Oh, no. I'm.
Have you done it?
All the time. And I
works?
Love it. It works? Yeah, it works. You have a whole team of people, a group of people that go. Instead of staying in a hotel, you can stay there. You can cook. You can clean. You can do whatever. However, Airbnb owner slapping an influencer with a $10,000 bill over selfie at their place. So they have in fine print that if you're marketing or doing any influencer type of pictures or anything,
they don't want you posting.
They don't
social
want posting.
Media.
Exactly. So that's in fine print. So
read that fine print.
You better
print,
read the
or
fine
you could
print.
Get fine.
And there are millions of people that use Airbnb.
I've never done it.
It's great.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do it someday in the future.
Are you too bougie for
no,
Airbnb?
I just don't understand it.
Why don't you understand it? It's like
so you go on the app and you pick a place in an area where you want to stay.
Yeah, and it eliminates the whole, I mean, some people like to cook. Everyone doesn't like to.
What about the bathrooms and the towels and all that stuff?
What do you stay at hotels?
Yeah, but this is somebody's house.
Well, somebody owns the hotel as well, right?
Not and there the same. Are, there, That's how is set it up the, for that. Somebody's house isn't necessarily set up to have visitors come. That would be my first question.
Just say that you're anti-Airbnb and we can
no,
move
I'm not
forward
anti-
with that.
I'm not anti. I just need a little more information.
So people out there. There are millions of people who use Airbnb. So I want you to know, there's everybody wants to be an influencer today anyway. You know, old, rich, poor, everybody wants to be an influencer. So now you better read the fine print.
All right.
So don't go into these
million-dollar
Airbnbs and start taking all these, you know, pictures and uploading them, because you may receive
a big fine.
A big fine. Anyway, so you don't like Airbnb, so I'll turn this over.
Don't.
Jesus. Do you like cruising? Do you like taking cruises? Oh,
no,
Lord.
I quit cruising too.
Oh, God. You're very boring.
That virus.
Oh my God.
What cruise now?
Royal Caribbean's Wonder of the Seas races back to Miami after a brawl by kids in a pool. So, these adults started to bang it out. Because kids are getting to over a pool. That is the one thing about the cruises that kind of just make
me. Have you been cruising?
I used to cruise all the time. But it seems like over the years, you see more and more of this. I don't know what's happening when you see more fights.
Wait a minute.
What?
You and I were on that cruise when they launched the Disney cruises. Yeah, with PJ, our boss.
You always go back.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
You brought it up.
I asked a question.
We did have a nice cruise. That was awesome.
Okay, that's the past. Let's set something up, something new.
What about the nude cruise from Miami?
Oh, my God. I'm definitely not doing that. But, I mean, if I could be fully clothed and go there and take pictures, I would do that. But, no, Larry, it's what people say all the time.
I know. People here love cruises. They do.
Love cruises?
They love to go on cruises.
Oh, people love cruises, to take cruises. Okay. Then, you know, you're boring. I'm not asking you anything else. I'm just talking about. But anyway, Royal Caribbean is like the bra of the bra. Oh, my God.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland. Think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Exciting and new.
Yeah, baby.
Come aboard. We're expecting you.
Wow.
But anyway, but check this out.
Cardi.
Cardi B, that's next. But anyway, in August, several people were left bruised in a brawl on another Miami-based cruise ship. That fight was somehow sparked over buffet chicken tenders.
Of course.
It's crazy.
Don't take more tenders than you can
eat. Oh, God. And moving on to my girl, Cardi B. I love Cardi B.
She has been in the news. She got exonerated from being accused of being nasty, basically.
God, and then walks outside the courtroom and throws a pin at a reporter. I mean, come on, Cardi.
Cardi is an extraordinarily talented 32-year-old mom. And now the announcement came seconds ago on CBS.
Yes. And she was interviewed by Gayle King, right? But check this out. She was not open about this fourth child. There were rumors that she was pregnant, and she shot them down because she has three children by rapper Offset.
Offset
is a rapper.
He's out.
He's one of the Amigos.
Stephon Diggs is
in. Now she has her fourth child with Stephon Diggs. And we've been waiting for her to
The Steelers come out will play Sunday in New England. He's a New England Patriot.
That is correct.
And she's coming out with a tour called Little Miss Drama.
She starts to tour next year. So I'm guessing after she has her fourth child, Cardi B, and I will definitely be at her concert.
All right. Who said
she's not coming
here?
She's not. No one comes to Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's a silly statement.
No one. Does Beyonce come to Pittsburgh? Has Beyonce been
here? All is not a word that we should use. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's doing that. That's not true.
For the artists that I listen to,
okay,
choose not to come to Pittsburgh for some reason or another.
Take care.
Bye.
That's what's trending with Tate. Proof. You know, you asked that question. Well, who am I going to call? There's a lot of names out there. JP Roofing and Siding with Joe Potocnik for 44 years has been one of the most reliable, if not the most reliable, roofing company in the region. But they do so much more. As an Owens Corning preferred contractor, upper 1%, that guarantees you that you have the best of the best manufacturer workmanship, warranty on labor, and you can get $1,000 off any complete roof and siding installation project from Joe. That said, downspouts, gutters, siding, even windows, take advantage of a free estimate. Set the bar there, and you'll see. 412-829-7711, 412-829-7711, JP Roofing and Siding. Thank you, Joe. In last hour with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, talked to Allegheny Conference Chair Matt Smith. We also talked to the contingent who's in Washington, and it's all about trying to work on what's coming next in the region. And what's coming next happens to be our new airport. And last night there was a gathering, and we have Pittsburgher of the Year with us, Christina Kasotis, who is the CEO. She's in charge of a very important project. Christina, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. As I don't have to tell you, there's so much going on, but your focus right now is obviously getting our new airport open. How do we stand right now?
We stand in great shape. We are in trials and testing, and we are rapidly completing the construction that will be done for day one. Some of it won't, because, of course, we have to do some things after we open. We're in great shape, and we're excited to show everybody the new Pittsburgh International Airport and the new vision of what people will see when they come in for the first time.
I'm excited to see it. It's been about a month since I took a tour, and it was so impressive then. I can't imagine how much work has been done in the last few weeks. That said, this airport represents a really important component of us attracting a whole lot of other things to the region, does it not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. The airport's a front door, a last impression. It says this is who we are, and we have worked hard along with our partners in the community who have helped make this happen, the airlines who've supported us, the elected officials who've helped us. We have a lot of folks who can take pride and ownership in what's been built, and it truly reflects and serves the region through design, through services. It's a really nice upgrade, and I'm really excited for people to see themselves and the future in this facility.
That said, as the front door of the region, I know you're also part of the vision for the NFL draft, which promises to be the largest spectator event we've ever had in the region. And a lot of those people are going to come through your front doors. How was the gathering about all the stakeholders, or many of them, about preparing for the draft?
Well, first of all, I am so excited for this draft and really excited to partner with the Steelers. They're one of the best brands we have in this community. Wherever you go in the world, if you say Pittsburgh, you get that kind of, you know, look of, and you say Steelers, it's instant. People understand that brand, and we are really excited that they'll be hosting this draft. We're part of a host committee along with a whole lot of other people who are working to make this happen. And there's a real focus on making sure that the airport is the place where people feel, wow, that they're here for something really special and that Pittsburgh has stepped up to deliver. So we're excited for that. I'm really glad it is happening in 26 and it didn't happen in 25, because I think that we have an extra chance to add to the great impression that we know that the city and the region will make.
Certainly a new story to tell. You're right. We're with Christina Cassota, CEO of the Pittsburgh International Airport. And that said, it's surprising sometimes. I talk to people when I've flown recently. I feel like I'm an ambassador, Christina, because I'm sharing what I saw. I'm like, no, there won't be any tram anymore. And they're like, what? You know, you and certainly you, and I'm engaged too, because I'm loving this. But a lot of people, you're going to have these aha moments and wow moments when people actually experience it. So give us kind of the elevator pitch on what will be new at the new airport.
Oh my gosh, so much is new. It's an entirely new experience when you are checking in, when you're picking up your bag, when you're getting dropped off, when you're getting picked up. It's a whole different facility, and it merges so beautifully with the existing facility where the gates are. Some people think that we have knocked down all the gates. And so sometimes it's hard for people to get their heads wrapped around what's really happening. What we've done is we've moved the building where TSA, check-in, and baggage pickup are located. And you have this magnificent building with lots of natural light, lots of space, and very, very easy wayfinding. There's only one way to go when you go in the front door, and it's straight ahead through the gates, through over a little bridge into a tunnel. How Pittsburgh is that? And then the airport opens before you and you get to find your gate. It's just it's a much better experience on departures. It's a much better experience on arrivals. It's better for meters and greeters. They'll have space. They'll have amenities. They can sit and wait inside or outside on one of our terraces. It's a spectacular experience. And one that when Sean Doyle, the CEO of British Airways, was here for the future travel experience, he said, I've never seen anything like it in the U.S. It's amazing. And we really hope that everybody, once they get used to, you know, doing things a little bit differently, will appreciate it as much as we do.
And as far as I know, the world's only 100% self-sufficient energy airport. Which is really
you
good.
Are an ambassador.
I do.
You've got it.
I'm excited. Well, appreciate you taking time. Do we have a date yet in October?
We do not. We do not. We're not going to announce one until we know we are 100% ready. The last thing I want to do is we can't afford to have something go wrong, and we are testing and trialing. And until that's done, until everything is in place, we won't be announcing. But We're very excited to be opening soon, I promise, and a date will be coming soon.
Because I want to be there, Christina, broadcasting live that morning. I was at the old airport on the day it opened, and that was in October, as you know, way back when in the 90s. So looking forward to it.
I do know. We have a rich history to build upon, and I'm excited for that.
Appreciate your time, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry. Have a good day.
You got it. Christina Cassota, CEO of the Pittsburgh International Airport, and a lot more to come. We're going to talk to Christine, Marty's wife. Christine is, of course, anchor woman at KDK-TV, and she, along with a few representatives from the media, were gathered, including our own producer, Aaron Farragonio, down at Allegheny General Hospital to greet Noah Wyle and some of the cast members from the primetime show that's been streaming on HBO Max. The first season done, and there will be another. And it's set in Pittsburgh, though. They're just shooting exteriors in a couple of scenes. Right, Aaron?
Right. It was kind of funny because walking up to Allegheny General Hospital, I was looking at the revolving door. They had their same logoing that they use for the show. And I was staring at it like, is that normal? But I didn't. It didn't click to me that they had set it up already.
Now, part of the reason you went there was to talk to Noah Wyle and try to get him on the show. And it sounds like that's going to happen soon.
Yes, I really believe that he's going to make an appearance on the Big K Morning Show. Honestly, it was funny. One of the first questions asked was by Christine Sorensen, and she said, how's it feel post-Emmys, right? It was like 2 days ago. And he said, well, you know, I haven't really slept, so... He told a sweet story about his daughter's reaction to seeing another Emmy on their mantle. And outside of that, he's like, I've just been rolling with a Starbucks cup in his hand, I might add.
And the detail in the show to make sure people know it's Pittsburgh, they go to great lengths to do this. Although somebody apparently mispronounced Woolies, which nobody outside of Pittsburgh would know anyway.
No.
But Christine followed up with a question about that detail.
The more detail that we put into the show that makes it feel more Pittsburgh specific, I feel makes it more relatable to people that aren't from Pittsburgh, because everybody has a Primanti sandwich. Everybody's got an Iron City beer in their town. And the more specific you can identify it to this place, the more people can feel like it's their place as well.
There you go.
And you'll enjoy this. Guess what both Noah and his co-star said about when we asked about sports? He said, we've just kind of been listening to Mike Tomlin. We're kind of obsessed with Mike Tomlin. I'm like, aren't we all?
The way he strings, his thoughts together. Yeah, that's interesting. And he said he wanted to go to Pirates game. He was going last night.
The Andy Warhol Museum.
Was another. Mm-hmm. And he has a very, very direct Pittsburgh connection in the fact that his mother was born at Shadyside Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad went to Carnegie Mellon University. And it was in this town, in this city where his parents met. So that's a really strong connection. And he said he's never gotten a chance to do all the things he wants to do in the city.
Right. It was cool because he made it a point. No one asked him the question if he had a personal tie, but he made it a point to say that, which I thought was really cool.
And he was also here with another actor
who's very popular. I'll tell you.
Yeah?
I'll tell you his name.
Very popular in the series. Noah, though, he's been around.
Yes. His co-star's name is Patrick Ball, B-A-L-L.
Yeah, and he plays kind of this doctor that's on the bubble.
Yes.
I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but what makes The Pitt different and what makes it popular, I think, was the way they did this. So in a 12-episode season, they covered one 12-hour shift in the emergency department, and each episode was 1 hour in real time. So if you followed from the beginning, it's like you live this shift over 12 hours.
You're equally as exhausted.
Well, mentally, it's, you know, if you're a little squeamish about seeing blood and, you know, emergency department is what it is. People come in with all kind of different things, and they try to stick to being as real as they can. And then Noah Wyle said when he went in to meet some of the docs in Allegheny General, here's what he said.
And apologize for anything that we need to apologize for and thank them for everything that we should thank them for.
Yeah, he gave a shout out to the men and women in emergency departments across the country on his acceptance speech, the primetime Emmys on Sunday night, where the pit cleaned up.
Right. He also said, he was asked, you know, when preparing for season two, were there any changes? And again, without putting any spoilers out there, he talked about the mental preparation after going through season one. And if you've seen it, you've gone along that journey with him. And in, you know, preparing for season two, he just said, you know, he had to kind of search inward. And he realized doctors don't always make the best patients. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, that was your first experience doing that.
Yeah, it was. And it was really great. I think, you know, when you do what we do, you kind of just tap in and you're locked in that moment. And so it was very cool, very adrenaline filled, but also just felt like, okay, let's find out what the people want to know.
And now you're going to book them on the show some more.
No, when I tell you I have never been more direct, because they were down to earth like that.
We used to joke with Andy Lindbergh, who produced our show for 5 years, to get Raul Castro. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the persistence most times the persistence wins.
All right. Great work, Aaron. Thank you. And coming up at the bottom of this hour, our weekly visit with Christine Sorensen, and we'll get her reaction to that and what's going on this weekend, things you can do with your kids. Afternoon, some of our radio partners, and it was really fun, Aaron, because we were talking about the future of the business and the excitement. So when we started in radio, certainly the original radio station in the planet is here, KDKA. And you can imagine all the technology that's emanated since then. And you see this every day with our streaming capabilities. KDKRadio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company, our new KDK Radio. This is the YouTube channel.
That's what I thought of. Even our newest edition of YouTube. It's growing every day.
It is. So what's fun about it is, you can see, I said, well, you can no longer dress in T-shirts on radio or have your hair messed up if you're live streaming. Today, I've got a Pirate shirt on. We got a day game we're covering on the station that invented baseball in the radio.
Very cool.
That said, we also have an opportunity many times for our guests with the technology that exists to see the guest. When you first tell them about it, they get a little freaked out. Right?
Yeah, they're like, what do you mean? It's radio. What do you mean you want me on camera? And it's like, you know, some jump and others are slow to warm, but.
Yeah, they're like, I'm up early. I'm not prepared for that.
I'm just going to call in. But I think it's really amazing to see where media is going, where it's come from, you know, because everything's going digital.
And if you go way back, I know yesterday we broke the news here on the morning show, the passing of actor Robert Redford at age 89. And we've created a list for Aaron over the past year plus since she's been with us of, oh, by the way, Aaron, you got to watch this movie. It'd take a lifetime to watch all the movies we recommended. But truly, there are some great films in his filmography.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought CBS did a great job of sharing his co-stars over the years, their reaction to his passing, with CBS's starting with Michael George.
He was Hollywood's golden boy who starred alongside some of the greatest leading ladies. And today they're paying tribute. Barbra Streisand, his co-star in The Way We Were, called him one of a kind. Meryl Streep, Redford's Out of Africa co-star, wrote, "One of the lions has passed." Jane Fonda, who starred with Redford in Barefoot in the Park, said she can't stop crying. And in Park City, Utah, the marquee of the Egyptian Theater was changed to "Applause for Bob Redford." Thank you, Sundance Kid. Sunday morning's Lee Cowan has more about the one-time heartthrob turned Oscar-winning movie maker and environmentalist.
You don't like talking about your end? I mean, who does? You know, I can't do this forever. I've been doing it since I was 21. As you move into your 80s, you say, hey, that's enough. That's enough.
He was truly a natural. Robert Redford shattered all kinds of norms of what being a movie star really meant.
Would you make a jump like that you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Over his career, he had more than 80 films to his credit.
When are you leaving?
Tomorrow.
Many playing the golden-haired romantic lead.
Katie, you expect so much.
Oh, but look what I've got.
His films had both humor.
Are you serious?
And heft.
This is some stuff in the Eisenhower campaign 1952 that Hunt was connected with.
He took risks many actors wouldn't. His directorial debut was Ordinary People, a film studios thought was too dark, and his choice for the lead, Mary Tyler Moore, too light. It won Redford an Oscar.
from the time I was just a little kid, I was always wanting to go away from the rules. I didn't want to break any. I just didn't want to be held by them.
I don't even know you.
You know me. I'm just like you.
He was of Hollywood, born in Santa Monica, California, but never really enamored by it. Redford fled to the mountains of Utah instead, where he championed all kinds of environmental causes. It was up here, too, where he launched his Sundance Institute and the Sundance Film Festival, focused on those who had something to say, but were rarely heard.
Whenever there's an attempt to snuff politically, to use politics to snuff a point of view, then we try as best we can to come behind it and push that back out in the marketplace and encourage the work to be seen.
Robert Redford died at Sundance, surrounded by those who loved him and the mountains he loved so much.
You know what, Aaron? It makes me want to go back and watch some of those movies. He was in a bunch of good ones. So
it gives that old school Hollywood feel.
Yeah. Super A-lister in that world. And I've been to Sundance, his film institute. It's an amazing place in the mountains of Utah outside of Provo, which is in the mountains from Salt Lake.
Wow.
And they built right there this giant stage film, you know, the studio soundstage. And you know what was filmed in there? Yellowstone.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started on that show.
You like that?
Loved that show until the last season, if I'm being honest, like a lot of other fans.
Are they done, or are they going to bring it back?
I believe it's done. You know, it was kind of anticlimactic, you know, just because of what happened. But it's a phenomenal show.
Okay.
But you haven't watched it?
No, not one episode. I should. Everybody tells me I should. But that soundstage studio in Park City is due to Robert Redford. As the Big K Morning Show, and every Wednesday at this time, we welcome in studio Christine Sorensen, KDK-TV anchorwoman, and, of course, wife of Marty Griffin. And yesterday, with acting star Noah Wiley and the excitement around The Pitt, the series that won a bunch of Emmys on Sunday night, and you gathered at Allegheny General Hospital. I assume you watched the first season.
Oh my gosh. We were huge fans of The Pitt. It was really fun it was like one of the few shows that our whole family enjoyed. Chloe loves medical dramas. She loved Grey's Anatomy. So when The Pitt started, we all started watching it together, partly because of the Pittsburgh connection, because I'm not a huge medical drama person. I get a little squeamish about that stuff. But once I started, I could not turn. Well, okay, there are a few times I turned away. It got a little gory.
I know exactly what you mean.
But I was sucked into the drama of the show. It was so fascinating to see what it really is like in an emergency room. Now, we got to meet Noah Wiley yesterday. He was so kind, so generous with his time, took pictures, shook people's hands. I mean, just a gentleman. And he and Patrick Ball, who plays Dr. Langdon on the show, they were both there to thank the real ER doctors who they play on the show. And in fact, we talked to some of them and they said, you know, it's very realistic. Now, it's all the dramatic stuff in a year crammed into one day. But, you know, it is pretty much true to what they experience.
And that's what's different about this series is episode one is 1 hour of a 12-hour shift in the ER. So the whole season is just one ER typical day.
Right.
Typical, I say, because they cram everything into one. So they're going to do it again, obviously. And for those that don't know, it's set in Pittsburgh. And you ask Noah about the great detail they go to make it really feel like that.
Yeah, he said he thought Pittsburgh was the best place to film it. He also had some Pittsburgh connections, which made him want to film it here. His mom was born at UPMC Shadyside. His parents met here. His dad went to Carnegie Mellon University. But he also said it's one of those cities that really doesn't get it's not overplayed, you know, like Chicago, Miami, New York, where you see a lot of shows. But yeah, I asked him about those references because there's a ton in the show. They drink Iron City beer. There was a patient who had worked on Mr. Rogers' show. There's so many interesting ones. And he said he felt like it's important to really be authentic to that town because even for people who don't live here, it makes it feel more authentic to them as well, because they have their own Iron City beer or, you know, special ties to those areas. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, Philly would have their cheesesteaks. Sure. Other, every city's got something
Absolutely.
Like that. So really good stuff you had on KDK TV. And how about Erin, our producer, her first foray into the movie business and being there?
I was so excited to see her there because it, I mean, I was so excited to be there, as was everyone. Everyone in the newsroom was a little jealous that I got to go.
Noah Wiley, whatever.
Yeah. And Patrick Ball, too. That was a nice little bonus.
All right. Kidsburg, there is a lot going on. This is the season. Even though it's September, I'm looking out in a newsroom. Pat Septak is a big Oktoberfest person. That means pumpkin fests and hay rides.
It is starting. Yes, this weekend is the start of Hay Day. So it's one day at Heartwood Acres this Saturday, and then next Saturday they have Hay Day at South Park. This is through Allegheny County Parks, and it's a free festival from 11 to 3. So this Saturday at the Heartwood Acres location, they're going to have hay rides, inflatables, puppet shows, face painters, you name it, petting zoo, just so family friendly. It's going to be a blast. They'll have food and drinks that you can purchase. So check out kidsburg.org. It's on our guide of all the fun things to do this weekend. And there's one other thing I want to mention that is this weekend only. This is the last weekend for the Summer Phipps Garden Show. The theme was Jungle Quest. I got to see it earlier this summer. It is so worth going to if you get a chance and you haven't seen it yet. It's just so fascinating how they create these jungle-themed animals out of live and dried plants. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, that place is one of the treasures right under a lot of people's noses that many people haven't taken advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first place I take a visitor when they come into town because it's one of my favorite places, but visitors are always amazed. But don't wait for a visitor to come.
All right, a very important recognition for young people about a history of something that happened here.
Yeah, this is so cool. The Children's Museum of Pittsburgh has created an interactive children's exhibit focused on the Tuskegee Airmen. And it opens this Saturday, and it's going to be here through January, and then it's going to tour around the country so kids everywhere get to experience this. It's called Aim High, Soaring with the Tuskegee Airmen. And we are so lucky to have so many of them right here, you know, from our area. And what's so cool about this exhibit is it's really helping kids learn about career possibilities in the field of aviation and learning about the STEAM concepts as it relates to flying. Kids are going to get to do really fun stuff because that's what the Children's Museum does best, is make things interactive. So there's an actual cockpit flight trainer. You get to get an up-close view inside a cockpit flight trainer. You see videos of taking off and landing. It's kind of like a life-size thing. You're going to see images and learn about older planes and what it took to get to the modern planes. You're going to have, there's a land the plane maze. There's these imagination mirrors. There's wearable wings. So it's going to be a great time for all kids and families.
Great resource, kidsburg.org. Christina, you sticking around with Marty?
I am. I'll be here 11 to 12 with Marty.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
And I'm sure Marty was thrilled you met Noah Wiley too.
He didn't seem as excited as I was. I don't know why.
Really? Surprised. Baseball. Marty's on a short shift today. Marty, what are you working on today?
Hey, this just, and I mean just came in. Great work by Pitt Police. I love that department. They really know what the hell they're doing. They just grabbed this this guy in the FBI incident.
Don Henderson from Penn Hills.
Donald Henson from Penn Hills. Pitt Police, they grabbed him at 5th in Myrna. I don't know exactly that area, Larry, but it's probably in Oakland. Duh.
Yeah.
Near the Pitt campus, they grabbed the guy. FBI got him, positive ID. Cool. You know, though, I know they want to, I'm going to mention this off the top, they want to label this and use that ridiculous terror word. This is, what's terrifying about this is, Larry, we've talked about this for decades, my brother. Here's another man who is mentally ill and can't get help. And I'm going to read you a quote from a judge about the only place this guy could go and where he ended up. Also, A guy dies and his wife is crippled for life, okay? Drunk driver with her baby in the back seat hits them at 75 miles an hour. Hammered. Had her baby in the bar drinking with the baby in the car seat on the bar. Gets 2.5 years in prison, Larry. So you kill someone and cripple someone and you get 2.5 years in prison. Is that where we go here, Larry? Is that as good as it gets, Larry?
I'm actually surprised it's that much because there have been other incidents where the sentences have been much lighter.
That's why I love Larry, because you're right. Because they say, and I don't agree with this, Larry, you get in front of a jury, you got a single mom with a baby, and they think, aw, she only killed someone. Aw, she only crippled someone. But she does have that kid, so let's let her walk. And that's what happened here, Larry. It's a friggin' disgrace. Guy sends me a note, said, I did 5 years for driving with a suspended license. At some point, doesn't there have to be some sort of equal justice? And by the way, this happened to a close friend of mine, Mark Sorreo's sister.
Understood. All right, Marty, thanks. Coming up, Marty will be joined by his wife, Christine, right off the top.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.